Welcome to the Wahoo Central Podcast. I'm Jeff White, Director of News Content for VirginiaSports.com, and my guest today is Mark Gilbo, head coach of the UVA women's tennis team, which closes the regular season this weekend in Florida. Mark, I know you got to head south later today, so thanks for making time and stopping by.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Your team is ranked number four nationally, and it may well turn out to be the best team you've had in your nine seasons at Virginia. The ladies have won eight straight matches, which is a school record. What's made this team so special?
A lot of things. I think first and foremost is it's a process. I think all coaches would say this. It has a lot to do with the past and a lot to do with kids that have come through this program many years before. And so you try to carry on the good things they've done, the good traits and the good lessons and examples. And we've certainly been fortunate to do that. So it's a part of that function. We have some seniors on the team that have been through a lot. They've filled a lot of different roles, and that plays a big part of it. They've done a great job both on and off the courts. And I think maybe most immediate and importantly is we have a very strong young class of kids in the program, sophomores and freshmen, that are really doing a great job leading the way on the courts and also stepping up and doing a good job in leadership roles.
The ITA National Team Indoor Championships were held here in early February. Virginia lost a close match to Florida, which was then ranked number two nationally. Did that loss end up helping the team at all, or what did it kind of take from that loss going forward?
We certainly made the loss into something that we were going to learn from, and in that sense, it did help the team. Obviously, it was a very big match that, you know, clearly you'd like to have on record as a win, but it was important. It was important information for our players, especially, again, a young group, including the seniors as well. So, you know, it's still a new process in some ways for those players. But to have, you know, after a tough doubles point, to have more or less the opportunity with set points and set games to have six first sets there to sweep the first sets with Florida, which we didn't end up doing, credit to Florida. Still, it showed that we had a chance to be as good as that type of team, and certainly set us up for, you know, the expectations we had moving forward.
You play at Florida State on Friday and at Miami on Sunday. What challenges do those opponents pose?
Both are very feisty teams. Florida State has tended to show their very best against us, which we appreciate and definitely have to be ready for. We've had some really good battles in the past. The conditions, the weather, all of those always play into it. Our kids last weekend showed a great toughness and fitness level in terms of playing outdoors in the heat for the first time. We haven't had a whole lot of experience with that this year. I think it's also a byproduct of having some good players from the state of Florida on your team, which helps. But last week, not to get off topic, but last week we had some kids sick, and actually one player, Rachel Pearson, was throwing up the night before the match, and she not only kind of kept practicing a bit, but she went out there and had a great weekend. So they pose a very tough challenge, and I know that they're hungry to improve their positions. Florida State is in the conference, and then Miami is along with us. Hopefully, if we can keep taking care of business, we're playing for the ACC title with a team like Miami and a few others. So,
what are the logistics of a road trip like that? You fly out of Charlottesville on Thursday. Do you stay over in Tallahassee on Friday night? And what do you do on the off day, Saturday? Yeah. How do you fill those hours?
Every road trip's different. We ideally fly out of Charlottesville. We've had a lot of trips out of Richmond, which works out okay. But this trip is out of Charlottesville. We'll get there a little bit later than we ideally would want. But that's designed to not miss that extra day of school today. So we've done a good job of really, really maximizing their ability to be in the classroom. We'll get there and practice. It'll be a later practice than normal. We arrive at 7:35. We hope to practice by 8:30, fingers crossed. Won't be a long practice, but we'll get used to their environment. And then, yes, we'll stay after the 3 o'clock match on Friday. We'll stay in Tallahassee. And then we have a direct flight on Saturday. Very fortunate to have that. We've driven from Tallahassee to Miami before on the off day, which is really not the greatest way for these kids to be prepared. So you're always trying to be attentive to the budgets and to the needs of the whole thing. But we really plan out every single detail, including every little meal and every little rest and all of it. So hopefully get down to Miami on good shape Saturday afternoon, get a practice there, and then be ready to play Miami on Sunday.
Julia Elbaba is only a sophomore. She's already earned a number three ranking national ranking in singles, which is the highest in school history. She's ranked number 11 in doubles with Rachel Pearson. What kind of impact does a dominating player like that have on a program, especially in the dual match format?
It's almost impossible to measure, especially in the sport of tennis. It's a little unique. I think other sports maybe are like this and other sports aren't. You know, your top player, if you have a very strong top player, when you have that player and then they're doing well, it makes your level what it is. And for us, that's a very strong, high level. If you're missing that player or if they're on an off day, it sounds strange, but it's a lot more than just one point in a match. It can take a 7-0 win and mm-hmm. turn that into a 4-3 loss. And that's how much credit you give to those top kids. And look, every spot's important, but in fairness, it does start with the top, yeah. and that strengthens your lineup immediately. And so Julia's done a great job. She's largely been the number one player for most of the 2 years. Stephanie Nauta stepped in last year and did a great job as well. So two young kids that have really done a great job leading the program at the top of the lineup. But it does. It means a ton. It's more than just one point a lot of times on the scoreboard.
For people who have not seen Julia play, can you describe her game and tell us what makes her so effective on the court?
Absolutely. In fact, I'm just coming from being on the court with her for an hour. She put in a good workout this morning before we travel. Her game, the first word I would use is explosive. Mm-hmm. She's not the tallest and biggest of kids, but she's extremely explosive. And what I mean by that is her legs and the way that she really comes off the court. She uses the court as a source of power. She pushes off the court into her shots. You'll see her if you see basically the point of contact. You'd think she was jumping. I think the best tennis players do that, and they do that without jumping. It's a very natural release, and it's called an unweighting, and it's a production of power for them. She does that on her ground strokes. She does that on her serve. She does it really pretty much all around the court. Her game, in a sense, is extremely well-rounded. She mm-hmm. can play all parts of the court. She can hit the ball to all parts of the court. She can hit just about every kind of shot you would imagine. But probably the mainstay of her game is the power that she generates from the ground, and her forehand in particular is a very striking and dangerous shot. She can change a point with one swing of the racket. And then lastly, she's one of the quickest, hardest-working kids in terms of covering the court. She is not offended at all by playing defense. Tennis is an offense and defensive right. game, offensive and defensive game, and she'll do both, and she'll do it as well as anyone in the country.
Since the end of last season, or last school year, your program added a transfer from the University of Florida as well as two freshmen. What has the addition of Danielle Collins, Rachel Pearson, and Marie Foy meant to the program?
Everything. Again, it's hard to measure and hard to put into words. Danielle is a player that we actually recruited heavily out of junior tennis. And, her path was a little different, and she, found a way to get here, and that was great. And we're very, very fortunate for that. She's been an absolute champion out there and a tough, tough kid. She's playing, I think, every bit as well as Julia now. And really, our top four, I think, are showing an extremely high level, and we've had some real good, bright moments all the way through the lineup. So Danielle's meant a ton. She's also, again, having come through a different program, and that being Florida, that has a high standard. She shared with our team some of the insights mm-hmm. into, when maybe we think things are a bit tough or we're working a little bit hard. She's shared very openly and honestly that, look, other programs are working just as hard. So that's what I'm trying to produce for these kids, especially at a young age, is to understand we don't want to overdo things, but we really want them to understand that out of respect for their abilities and their level, we really want to go at things in a very intense way and maximize. Rachel Pearson's been amazing. She's immediately came in and had great results. We could see that just through the summer and also right into the first bit of practice in the fall. But not only to do it in singles, but also with the doubles. She's done a great job. And like I said, and then it builds into other areas. Her toughness, last weekend alone, a lot of kids would have not played those matches. And she more than did that and stepped up and did a great job. Marie has some developing to do. I think it's a little bit more of a transition coming from France. Mm-hmm. The game style there is different. They play a lot on clay. And I think it does kind of have an impact in terms of the speed of things here being a little faster. But honestly, I do know that she's a good player and she's a great kid. She's a great student, maybe our strongest student, which is really impressive. But to be very fair, I do hope that the development will pick up and that we can get her to enjoy some of the benefits of that game and have a lot of fun out there on the court.
Of your top five singles players, four are second years. The other is a first year. As a coach looking toward the future, that's got to be tremendously exciting, isn't it?
It is, absolutely. And we saw that last year, just simply from the class that came in last year. We knew we were moving in a great direction for at least a few years. And the way we look at it is you really want to top that off now. If we can bring in, we have another good prospect coming in, and if we can add to that, we can really top this thing off. And it's just the best of both worlds. You want to add to this strength, and you want these kids that are currently here to benefit from being even stronger. And then you have the best to offer to young kids. You know, you can tell right. them, look, you've got a group of players that are proving themselves and handling things in a great way, and you can be on that team for at least 2 years with no changes. So it is a great spot to be, but we want to be aggressive in recruiting and really hope to round it out quite nicely.
What about the contributions your seniors have made, especially Chili and Carissa? Their roles are probably more limited than maybe they'd like. How have they handled that?
Carissa has been a fighter for this program, and she's earned her way in there, and she's done it again this year. This has been the most challenging year for her, and I think she would speak openly to that. In some ways, it's difficult because you fight 3 years, you earn your way in there each of the 3 years, and it's not a bad thing that the program increases in level and that spot becomes even tougher to gain. And she wasn't quite ready to get that done at the beginning of this year. Troy and I, even though we had some real challenging conversations, we had confidence that if she kept her fight, just like she had done in previous years, that good things were going to happen. And sure enough, that has happened. And I know she hasn't had as much playing time this year, but I can tell you just in the bit that she's been in there and watching it very closely in practice, her level may be better than it's ever been at any point of her 4 years. And I couldn't have a prouder and better comment for her than that. She's also been in a challenging role as a leader. It's not easy. And I know that that's challenged her a bit, and she's done the best she can with it. And it takes a team that's willing to be led, and I think we've learned that. And I think she's stepped up and found ways to do a good job leading. So her role has been all-encompassing. She's done everything, and I'm proud as can be to have her out there and also very confident. I know that she's going to make it very difficult for someone to beat her, and at the same time, she has the ability to beat them. So you kind of got a win-win situation. Chili's road has been definitely a lot up and down. Mm-hmm. Chili has a strong spirit deep down and I think has kind of her ways of doing things, and we definitely want to work with that as coaches, but you also want to teach and kind of advance maybe some different ideals and different ideas. It's been an ongoing process. She's played some good tennis. She's had some ups and downs. She's had some ankle injuries and different things. She had to sit that first year, which was not a great thing, and honestly, I think the NCAA ruling on that was a bit tough, but overall, she's played some great tennis in stages, and she's been a mainstay of our doubles, and it's subtle, but if you watch closely, you'd see that she's probably as good or better than anyone on the court in the doubles, and so that's very, very valuable. I'm happy for Chili. She's just found out that she's going to have a good job moving forward, so I think that her path is becoming a little more fulfilled, and again, I've said it, I hope that she can finish this real strongly on the courts as well. She's a talented, very good player.
You mentioned your associate head coach, Troy Porco. He's been with you all 9 years here. How do you two divide the responsibilities? Do you have a strict division, or do you each do a little bit of everything?
It's been stages of each doing a little bit of everything. Now we've kind of evolved into, number one, on the court, it is absolutely 100% equal, and we work, you know, with only two of us, it takes every ounce that we have. So we're out there hitting balls, we're, you know, feeding balls, we're in there hands-on. And we really try without overcoaching. I think we do a lot of coaching, so you have to balance that. But we try to communicate on the tennis a lot. What we're both working at is the continual, you know, development and process in terms of communicating off the courts and understanding, you know, without getting too much in the kids' space, that you need to do a lot more than just on the court. But Troy does an absolutely massive job, and his role, especially in the office, he's doing a lot of the management of the program type things. I do all of the recruiting and the practice planning, and so we have it figured out in a good way. And the greatest thing of all is that he's just the most loyal person and friend and coach and staff person that you could ever ask for. So I couldn't thank him enough, and he does a great job.
What's been the response from the local community and tennis fans in Charlottesville over the past few years as your program has kind of elevated its profile nationally?
I would say from day one. I still remember the first day walking, for instance, up to Boar's Head courts 9 years ago. It's never been really any different. It was always very positive, very supportive, and very excited for what we were doing, even when we weren't at the top of the heap. And not that we're finished product, right, and not that we're there yet. But, you know, we really did have to build this program up from a long ways off at the beginning. And the neatest thing I can say is that I don't think that it's much different now than it was in the beginning. I do see an excitement, and I see some new people jumping in and supporting us, and that's great. But it's really been very consistent. It's a great tennis community. The people have been just incredible to our team and to our players and to us personally as coaches.
The field won't be announced till next month, but Virginia is a lock to play in the NCAA tournament for the sixth straight year. Your team has advanced to the round of 16 each of the past three seasons. The ranking would suggest that this is a team capable of clearing that hurdle and going on. Would you expect it to do so? Would you be disappointed if it didn't get to the quarters and maybe beyond?
For the kids, I have high hopes, and I guess disappointed that they maybe wouldn't get to experience more. But no, not if the kids play their hardest and we prepare and we do everything that we've committed to do, and that's every match, one match at a time, and give our very best effort each and every time. That's all I'm really focused on. But I want them to have the great experiences. Mm-hmm. And one is, you know, getting into the NCAA tournament for some programs. That's a great experience. We certainly look forward to playing in the NCAA tournament, hosting that, which is a good step. And then the round of 16, never to be taken lightly. It's a tough step. But, yes, we do have the expectation and the ability to get beyond that. This is a very, very strong year in women's tennis. It's unlike any year, really, that we've seen recently. And what I mean by that is I think typically you look at two or three teams that pretty much have a head and shoulders lead on everyone. We've shown that by beating Duke, who's been ranked mm-hmm. one the entire year. And I fully think we're as good and or better than Duke on every day. Now, there are other teams out there. I would look at it like a lot of coaches right now. I think there are probably 12 to 14 teams this year that could actually win the national title. So it makes it very challenging. It's a neat thing if you can handle it the right way and be challenged by it the right way and be excited by it. I do hope we can keep ourselves in a good position. And playing at home, hopefully, for that regional will be a great start. And then get in a better position than maybe we've been in the past in terms of who we would face.
Seeding and everything.
Forward. Exactly.
One final question, if you have time. Mm-hmm. Before the NCAA tournament comes the ACC tournament, which starts Wednesday in Cary, North Carolina. How do you handicap your team's chances in Cary?
Well, I think good. Again, and touching on the NCAAs as well, I think on our best day, we have the ability to play with and beat perhaps any team in the country. And that's with a lot of information. We've seen almost all of these teams, mm-hmm. so I know that we can. We're still trying to piece things together. You're always looking for that perfect day where all six spots are sharp and all three double spots are clicking. I feel good that the girls are committed to that and we're working at that. ACC's a lot, obviously, is going to be determined by this weekend. You know, we're playing for an ACC title. If we can come through this weekend with two wins, we will at the very least, share the title, which is a great step. At the same time, if we have a loss, it could be, in terms of seeding, anywhere from 1 to 4.
Wow.
And so it's a big difference, a lot to be determined this weekend. And, you know, when you're looking at three of the top four teams in the country in the ACC, you got a full plate.
Yeah.
And not only three in the top four, but we essentially have five in the top 17. So it's a very strong conference. We love that, and we're glad to be a part of that.
Well, great. Well, there you go. Mark, thanks again for making time for this interview, and have a safe, successful trip to Florida.
Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate you. Thank you.
I'll be back next week with another Wahoo Central podcast. Until then, check virginiasports.com for news and updates on all 25 of our sports, and thanks for listening.